Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Monday, a glorious Monday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, plenty of both. Joy Taylor. New radio show on Fox Sports Radio Saturdays. Listen to that. What offenses disappeared for a while, but the Sunday night was capped off by my guy Lamar, who nobody could get their arms around. It's Lamar beat Mahomes. It was so much fun.
There was not a lot of issue with scoring points in last night's game. Hope you took the over in that one.
Yeah. You know, I think names matter. If you name your kids, you know, names matter. Names for companies matter. I'll give you an example. I am hungry and I want food. I love the name DoorDash. That's a company. And we start our show today with that. DoorDash. I am hungry and you are dashing to my door to get me food. I like that. Federal Express. I need this letter. You're running to your planes to get it to my house. Apple. Every time I think of Apple, I love apples. They're healthy. They're cold. They're fresh. Names matter. It's the first thing you think about, right? Get me food dashing to my door. I like it. My NFL guys didn't like Lamar Jackson. Bill Polian, Hall of Famer, thought he was a receiver. He's just different. And when things are different, they are hard to get your arms around, right? But what if we change the name of the position from quarterback and it was called playmaker? Wide receiver, running back, tight end, left guard, playmaker. Because they do take the snap 65 times a game. And they have to make plays. They have to make audibles. They have to run. They have to be able to throw. If you call the position playmaker, we would all agree Lamar Jackson's top three in the league. And he is winning at 81%. That is top three in the league. Last night he had 200 passing yards, 100 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. Only 2 players in league history have done that. He is a nightmare to face because, like Kyler Murray, he is a playmaker. We just don't know what to do with different people and different experiences. That's why the name matters, because the rules now are allowing for quarterbacks to make more plays. In college, the spread offenses, college quarterbacks are making more plays. And as Bill Parcells always said, you are what college football gives you. He is a playmaker. And here's what's interesting. Is that when anybody's great at one thing, I mean truly great, Lamar's legs, Lamar's speed, you don't have to be great at everything. I had a friend once go to the late Whitney Houston, a concert. I said, oh, how was it? She said, she was so boring. She just stood on stage. And I'm like, yeah, when you're Whitney Houston, don't dance around. Just sit there and sing because you have the greatest voice in the history of the world. She goes, well, she didn't move around. And I'm like, yeah, because she has the greatest voice in the history of the world. Like Lamar Jackson is so great at moving and making plays, he doesn't need to be Brady. Why did we not criticize Drew Brees, who was so accurate, he didn't need a big arm because he could wedge that ball in a keyhole. Peyton Manning was so smart pre-snap, his giant brain, he didn't have to have a beautiful arm. He would get people in the right position. Lamar Jackson is so gifted, so fast, he doesn't need to be Tom Brady throwing the football down the field. The other thing about Lamar is that when you are a playmaker, you create your own inertia. I'll give you an example. So let's say I told you today that Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are out next week for the Chiefs. Even with Patrick Mahomes, you'd be like, Well, it's not going to be the same offense. If I told you tomorrow, yes, Stephon Diggs won't play for the Bills next week, Cole Beasley out, you'd be like, oh, well, he won't be as good. With Lamar, he lost his entire backfield a couple weeks ago. It's like, it doesn't really matter. He had the ball 36 minutes last night because when you're a playmaker, you create your own inertia and your own momentum. That he's really not as dependent as a Brady or a Mahomes or a Josh Allen on great teammates. He creates his own plays. Just change the name of the position to playmaker, and I think we would all agree. There's just nothing on the planet that looks like that. There is. And by the way, he talked John Harbaugh into going for it on fourth down. What did he do to seal the win? He made a play. Here's Lamar.
You know, in my mind, I'm like, damn, we should go for it because we're close. But then when I went to go into the sideline, my coach like, you want to go for it? I'm like, hell yeah, like, no doubt. Like, and we did. You know, we came out with success.
Yeah, I mean, he really controlled the game last night. 36 minutes time of possession. So I'd like to say this about the Cowboys-Chargers game. Dallas's defense, and they deserve credit for this, because they in the draft this year, they really went for defense. It does look more athletic, no question. Their secondary looks more athletic, and they did generate a very, very tasty pass rush yesterday. 9 quarterback hits, and that's Justin Herbert, who's hard to get your hands on because he can move. But the Dallas Cowboys didn't really win yesterday. The Chargers lost. And there is no franchise in the National Football League as cursed as the Chargers for the last 15 years. I'm not sure if Dallas won. The Chargers lost. The Chargers had 12 penalties. 2 of them took away touchdowns. Those are hard to get touchdowns in the NFL. Average score is like 24-20. 2 touchdowns taken away. They had multiple red zone mistakes. They missed a 44-yard field goal. They held Dak to 17 points until the final kick. No touchdowns for Dak. 237 yards and lost at home. Think about this. Dallas does not win low-scoring games. And when I say that, I mean it literally. Dallas was 0-17 in the last 17 games they had played and scored fewer than 30 points. 0-17. And they scored 20 and beat the Chargers. Yes, there was a terrible call in the grasp. Terrible call. Justin Herbert wasn't really in the grasp. I don't want to hear it. I do not want to hear it. In the end, 12 penalties, self-inflicted. By the way, this morning, the most penalized team in the NFL through 2 games. Shocker, the Chargers. Yes, this was not a good call. But why were they back there in the first place? Because of a penalty. What the Cowboys proved yesterday, and this is really important, and Dak Prescott, I didn't think played particularly, he looked a little off all day, maybe just juxtaposed with Herbert. But there is value in this, and it's something young quarterbacks all weekend, Justin Fields, Joe Burrow, Zach Wilson struggled with all weekend. And Zach, this is where Zach figured it out. Sometimes boring and efficient is good enough. Somebody should tell Zach Wilson that. What the Cowboys did yesterday was boring and efficient. They were 6-for-10 on third down, better than the Chargers. 23 of 27 was Dak. Red zone, 2-for-3. Fewer penalties. That's what they did. I watched young quarterbacks all weekend, college and pro. And sometimes it is okay to live for another play, to throw it out of bounds. And I don't think Dak had his best fastball yesterday. Hey, we've all seen it, right? Like even Brady, Mahomes, there are days, there are halves, they just don't have their fastball. And Dak, I don't think, had his fastball. But he was efficient. He was kind of boring. I mean, listen, there's a lot not to like with Dallas. When you're $90 million running back, is clearly your second best running back. When after the first quarter, you scored with that offensive talent, 6 points. When your head coach, again, in a critical situation, completely whiffed with clock management. There's a lot not to like with Dallas. But Dak was boring and Dak was efficient. And the Chargers lost that game more than the Cowboys won it. Now, I will say this. You know that saying, pride before the fall? I don't know if women have to deal with this, but guys and their egos, the pride, the vanity, and you make decisions based on your ego and pride and vanity. And I'll just speak for men, myself included. I've made that mistake many times in my life. One NFL GM did not. And it is paying dividends. And another NFL GM, and he's really good, he didn't have the guts to admit he made a mistake. And it could hinder an otherwise top GM who's done everything else right. That's coming up. Thoughts on Tua next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, aggressive, and we say this often, the Dodgers go out and get a Mookie Betts. You know, the Lakers go out and get Anthony Davis. We've seen a lot of that in Los Angeles where aggressive wins. USC for years wasn't aggressive. They were passive. They kept the same coaching staff. And now it's just an average football program that should be great. Go for it. Go big. And I got to give the Arizona Cardinals credit. And Steve Keim, their general manager. They drafted a quarterback, Josh Rosen, and they immediately identified, hey, we don't think it's special enough in this division to win. And they acknowledged, we're going to redraft quarterback. Whoa, GMs don't do that. That is like, that never happens. Steve Keim, the GM of Arizona, you watch Arizona play, that they have an unbelievable talent at quarterback. But for that to happen, they had to acknowledge, yeah, we missed last year. It happens. 50% of quarterbacks don't work. Man up and just admit, we missed. Arizona did. They may be the most spectacularly fun team to watch in the entire league, and that includes Kansas City. So Miami has done a lot right. Chris Greer, the GM, sharp. Brian Flores, smart. Last year was a great quarterback class, and they chose a wide receiver. Folks, there's 25 to 30 wide receivers a year in this draft that come into this league and play. At 30 a year, more than ever. California, high school football in California, there's 40 Division I wide receivers. There's about three big-time quarterbacks. You can get a receiver anywhere. And they stuck with Tua. And they stuck with Tua knowing in their division they would have to face for the next 10 years Josh Allen 20 times minimum. Bigger, stronger, athletic, agile, huge arm. But they had just drafted Tua, and they could not acknowledge in a great quarterback class at a position that's 50-50 if you can get one good quarterback a class, a great one, one a class. And they stuck with wide receiver, and they stuck with Tua. And Brian Flores knew, I can't beat him. Buffalo's beaten Miami six straight times. Josh Allen, as smart as Brian Flores is, and he is, he's a terrific coach, and he may be the second best defensive coach in the league. He can't stop Josh Allen. The last five times Josh Allen has faced Brian Flores, he scores 38 a game, 14 TD, 2 picks, passer rating at 115. Brian Flores can't stop him. Brian Flores knows when I face him, if I stick with Tua for the next 10 years, I will be at a massive size, arm, athletic ability deficit 20 out of 20 times. But they just drafted a quarterback. In a great quarterback class, we're going to go wide receiver. And I'm not backseat driver here. I said it before the class. I said, they got to draft another quarterback. They're going to be too good. They'll never get you. First of all, you're going to have another quarterback class this good? It was like a unique. Next year's quarterback class is one guy everybody acknowledges is a star, Spencer Rattler. And I got to be honest with you. There's a lot to clean up there. A lot. And all I'm saying is, now where's Miami? What are they? Because they don't have anything close to Josh Allen. And Tua's hurt again. Not his fault. Nobody's saying it's his fault. But he had an injury history. And he's small. And he's marginally athletic. There's not And everybody knew it. And we can't stop Josh Allen. And pride before the fall. Sometimes, and I know guys don't like, go to Twitter for 5 minutes. Guys can't admit they're wrong. But sometimes the most brilliant decision is admitting my previous decision was completely off base. You're not beating Buffalo for a decade unless you get that quarterback position, more athletic, bigger, stronger, faster. You're not beating them because Brian Flores now can't even, doesn't matter. They can't stop Josh Allen. By the way, not many can. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Ooh, the Colts dropped to 0-2 after losing to the Rams 27-24.
Thank God they're in that division.
Yes. The bigger concern for Indy, though, is the health of Carson Wentz. He left the game in the fourth quarter with an ankle injury and was not able to return. Today is being reported that he actually injured both ankles and is having more tests done to determine the severity of the sprains.
Oh, my gosh. He is, you know, I love Carson Wentz. I mean, look at this. He is so reckless. I mean, I never blame a guy when you're hurt, but he is just putting himself in. He's trying to win the game on every play.
Yep.
By the way,
these type of quarterbacks try to make 20-point plays, like plays that don't exist. What is that? Why is that a good decision? And I mean, at this point in your career, you shouldn't be doing things like that.
Especially, yes, exact to your point. I got injury history here. You're watching Sam Darnold in Carolina. Matt Rhule is coaching reckless out of him, which is really hard. Because I've said for years, Wentz and Darnold, big, strong. But they play the position like a linebacker. And Baker did that yesterday, trying to make a big tackle. It's like, Baker, let somebody else after an interception make the tackle.
Yeah.
You get out of there. You're a franchise quarterback. Get out of there. But Wentz, I don't know, Joy, if you can coach this out of him. Darnold, I'm watching it happen.
It's a personality thing. It's just, now, I do think that if you are with the right situation, we had a lot of questions about Jameis. You know, if you can get in the right system and everything is, you know, a little more conservative and reels you in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, and he's injury prone. On top of the fact that he's wild, he's injury prone.
This morning, both his ankles are hurt.
Well, there have been a staggering amount of injuries through the first 2 weeks, but yesterday was insane. Yeah. Bradley Chubb, Andy Dalton, Brandon Graham, Daryl Henderson, Jarvis Landry, Tua, Tyrod Taylor, Carson Wentz, TJ Watt, Jamichael Hasty, Elijah Mitchell, and Trey Sermon.
Yeah, TJ Watt, would that be an update?
It was a groin.
So what's that usually is like a month long.
Those are bad injuries because they can linger and it's really like rest.
Yeah, calf injuries and groin injuries, you think it's healed way before it is and then you re-injure it.
Well, the conversation now is turning to how much of the preseason is really necessary.
Yeah.
Because you are seeing a lot of injuries, so... You know, did we overcorrect now? Is it something in the middle where guys need to just get out there a little bit?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Like, we do this a lot. I've done this in my life. You overcorrect on something. I'm never doing this again. And it's like, there's a reason I did something for 20 years. I should probably do a little of it.
Yes, just cut back a little bit. So Bill Belichick has no problem with young quarterbacks. He's a lot of success facing young quarterbacks. He is 22-6. Against rookie quarterbacks as the Patriots head coach. Yesterday, no different. Zach Wilson was the latest to experience that firsthand. 19 of 33 for 210 yards and 4 interceptions against New England. And the Jets lost 25-6 for their 11th straight loss to the Patriots.
Well, Belichick is the greatest defensive coach and the best coach of all time. So he's made everybody look bad. And you know, it's not just interceptions. But when you throw interceptions against Belichick, they look terrible. So what he does, pre-snap, he just confuses quarterbacks. Yeah. They don't know what they're seeing. So when you look at these quarterbacks, you look as a fan and go, well, how could you throw the ball there? Like, I mean, That's not even close. But that's what Belichick does. And Saban does this as well, is they hide what they're doing. So the quarterback has no idea. And then the minute of the snap, the defense changes. Because you go in thinking zone or two deep, and then boom, it's different. And here comes the pass rush. And all of a sudden, you're throwing to a spot. And that spot, there's a person sitting waiting for it.
Well, it's just, you know, it's just experience. Bill Belichick is just a little bit of experience in that space. Now, look, I don't think this is anything to panic about.
No.
Zach Wilson was going to have one of these games this season. He might have a few. And you got to be a little patient. Let me look at Joe Burrow yesterday. So, you know, throwing multiple interceptions in a game is not unheard of, even, you know, if you're not a rookie. But
right.
Mac Jones was 22 of 30, 186 yards. You know, this was nice and efficient and calm. No yes. touchdowns, no interceptions. All right. Let's talk about these Steelers and these Raiders, for that matter. The Raiders.
Boy, that's as big a win as Gruden's ever had, right?
Big time win.
That has to be the biggest win for Gruden. I thought it was last week. That was my lock of the week. Some lock. I loved Pittsburgh yesterday.
I loved Pittsburgh. I took Pittsburgh in the points as well.
So did I.
Wrong-o. We were right about the Panthers, though. So the Raiders followed up their comeback win last weekend against the Ravens with a big 26-17 victory over the Steelers. They're now 2-0 to start the season. But they did have the same early success in 2020 before missing the playoffs. So Derek Carr wants his team to keep up the intensity.
We haven't done what we've wanted to do for the last couple of years. You know, we haven't been to playoffs since 2016. You know, I don't blame that thought process, but at the same time, like, just as a competitor, you're just like I don't care about any of that. Just put the ball down and let's see if we can turn these into wins. Now, we've started 2-0 before, but we got to keep going. You know, we can't let this thing go downhill. So, keeping the mindset, staying in the process, staying in the channel. Those are all the things that matter.
You know, it is what's really good for them is Henry Ruggs is now emerging. So we know Waller is a remarkable Hall of Fame level. They did this yesterday, by the way, without their top running back, Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
So they didn't go in there with their top running back, which is we always talk about this. I don't want to hear about your injuries. Everybody always, Baker doesn't have Odell. I'm not interested. Nobody's always healthy. So he didn't have his top running back. This offensive line is not as good as last year. And Henry Ruggs is emerging now as an over-the-top threat, which is significant because they've got a middle-of-the-field dominating presence. They need an over-the-top presence. Back-to-back games, he's had an impact. So that's a huge, huge component to it. Derek Carr's game. We don't think of him as a big over-the-top thrower. Now he's got a burner on the back end over the top, and it looks like he's becoming a player.
And they face the Dolphins next week.
Oh, where's that game at?
I don't have it up, actually. My computer decided to freak out on me.
Oh, that is tasty.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting. I don't even want to get into the Steelers. The Steelers cannot run the ball.
Oh, it's in Vegas. Oh, that's almost willing to go to Vegas to watch that thing. Joy. I mean, you go to Ecuador every other weekend. You can't go to Vegas.
I do.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Played 11 years in the NFL, all with the Browns, a 10-time Pro Bowler, will be eligible for the Hall of Fame in 2023, and he will get voted in first ballot. Joe Thomas, the great Joe Thomas, NFL Network, is now joining us live. So I said last week is the Browns, I wanted people to see this as a compliment. I said, when you're great, I'm not going to talk today much about Brady beating the Falcons. You're supposed to beat the Falcons. Cleveland today has not been a topic. Why? Because you should be beating the Houston Texans. And that's how I felt that Cleveland has taken a step to, let's just talk about them six times a year when they face Baltimore, because that's what they are right now. So I'm not going to talk a ton about the Browns today. So I thought, let's bring Joe Thomas on, because I did watch the game. And they did what, you know, talented teams do. What did you see yesterday, Joe, that you liked about Cleveland? Let's start with that. And then what anything, it was a little closer than some people thought for three quarters. Anything that concerned you with the Browns yesterday?
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with those things in your opening comments.
They had a lot of adversity early on in the game, right? Jarvis Landry gets hurt. Baker Mayfield, it hurts his shoulder. They're in a closer game than they expected. When Jarvis went down, it kind of took the life out of that team a little bit. But the thing that I was excited about is they were able to overcome that adversity. They didn't allow that to become the story of the game where all of a sudden you lose a game that you're supposed to win. And like you mentioned, as a good team, which I think the Browns are a good team right now, you've got to win those Houston Texans, those games against the teams that are on your schedule that are set up to be an automatic W. The things that I didn't like, obviously, you shouldn't be playing the Texans that close. I don't care if your emotional leader on offense gets injured early in the game. You got to be able to find that life and that energy, no matter if it's under the lights on Sunday Night Football, no matter if it's against the Chiefs or the Ravens, or if it's a team like the Jaguars or the Texans that you feel like you're better than. Like, they need to be able to find a way to get up and play the same no matter who's on the schedule.
You know, I said this about Lamar Jackson. If we called it playmaker and not quarterback, we just called the position playmaker, which increasingly, Joe, it's becoming that. The rules are now allowing more space. You can't hit the quarterback. Then we would look at Lamar Jackson and go, oh, yeah, the playmaker. Yeah, that. But I do think he's different. We don't like our quarterbacks moving around. We've never seen anything quite like Lamar. But I watched them last night and I thought, well, there's a reason they had 36 minutes time of possession. He kept making plays on third down, and Mahomes became a spectator. So I really like Lamar. He's different, but I am totally behind Lamar. What is your interpretation of what you see and how it would be to game plan for him?
Well, he's really difficult because if you look at what the Chiefs have done successfully against Lamar in the last few times against him, they blitzed him a lot, right? So last night in the game, the Chiefs blitzed him almost 50% of the time, but he was able to make those plays in those big moments while he was getting blitzed on third down with the incredible ability to throw the football while he's jumping through the air, he's turning the wrong direction, and finding the guy to make that big play. And additionally, he overcame a really bad start to that game. I mean, he had two interceptions. One was a pick six in the beginning of that game, and he was able to put that in a box. And to me, that's a championship mentality that not a lot of players have, especially at that quarterback position. It would have been really easy for him to just go in the tank and think, you know what? This is a running team that is built on defense and running the football. We don't have a chance to come back. I'm not playing my best game, and just kind of mail it in. But what he did is he put that bad start in a box. He threw it away and he led his team and he willed everybody to play better and find the best in themselves to go out and win against the best team in the AFC right now. And that was a really impressive performance, and it showed a lot of growth for me watching Lamar Jackson. And like you said, he has a lot of fun when he's out there.
You know, there are certain things I don't believe you can coach out of a player. And I'll give you one. Indifference. Nothing against Ben Simmons. He'll never love the game like the late Kobe Bryant did. He just doesn't. I mean, Jay Cutler, he'll never love the game like Russell Wilson does. I don't think indifference. A guy either loves the game or he likes the game. And the other thing is reckless. Carson Wentz is reckless. He knows he's had injuries. And he is literally can never live for another play. And I watched him yesterday, Joe, and I think, I'm not sure you can coach this out of him. He knows his injury history. He knows Aaron Donald's across the way. He doesn't care. And did you ever play with guys that just, it's their personality. It's their, you know, genetic or DNA makeup. That's who they are.
Yeah, that's what we keep talking about with Carson Wentz, right? There's an injury history there that you want to think that he's going to grow over time and understand, hey, maybe I shouldn't be taking some of these hits. Maybe I need to get rid of the football. Maybe instead of lowering my shoulder and trying to take on a DB in the secondary, maybe I need to run out of bounds. Like, having that self-awareness is so important. And I was disappointed because as a guy who doesn't put on a helmet anymore in the NFL, I'm never going to question a current player's toughness. But I think he had a great opportunity to win that locker room over last night by going out there and gutting through the ankle injury for a couple more series and winning the game for his team. Like, he would have gained a tremendous amount of respect in that locker room had he done that. Even if he had gone out and showed that he couldn't perform at the same level and he lost the game, I think he earns a lot of respect. But when you take yourself out of a game, or the trainers did, whatever happened, and you're not able to finish and you stand on the sideline, there's going to be a lot of players in that locker room that are going to be looking around that have a lot of hurt themselves that are thinking, hey, man, I was able to gut through to try to help my team win. And I didn't see that same level of commitment from you. And so now he's kind of got to deal with a little bit of that in the locker room. And for a guy that just got there, that was a golden opportunity that was missed.
Joe Thomas, at Joe Thomas 73 on his Twitter account. By the way, Thursday Night Football, Panthers, Texans, exclusively on the NFL Network. Joe will be working that. I want to talk about the Steelers' offensive line. So there are things that get better over the course of a season, right? We know that. Young players get better. But I've always said the offensive line is difficult because chemistry is such a part of it. And it's you know, a bye week really reshaped the offense last year for the Buccaneers. Hard to correct an offensive line over a bye week, right? Because you're not, it's not live bullets. So I look at the Steelers' offensive line, and I think it ain't good. It's a rebuild. You tell me, can that O-line for Pittsburgh, Joe, make significant steps throughout the course of this year?
No, because being a great offensive lineman and being a great offensive line is about the number of reps that you have together. It's like a golf swing. You're not going to walk out there and all of a sudden one day on the range make a tremendous amount of progress, because it's about doing the same thing over and over again. Because the technique that an offensive lineman uses is not natural. It's not throwing the football. It's not running. It's not tackling. It's not doing things that you've done since you were 3 years old. These are learned skills and learned traits, and it takes a lot of time to build those traits up. That's why we don't see a lot of guys coming from college anymore being great rookie year, second year, third year in the NFL, because it takes a lot of reps and they're not getting that in the college game. So for the Steelers to think that their offensive line is going to make tremendous leaps and bounds as the season goes on, I just don't think it's going to happen. And when you look at Ben Roethlisberger and the great success that he had had with the Steelers, a lot of times it was built on they had a great defense always, but they also had a really good running game.
Yeah.
And he was able to shake off the would-be sackers and throw down the field at a tremendous rate. We were always so afraid when we played him of the times where we had a free hit on him and he was able to get free and he would chuck the ball 60 yards down the field to Antonio Brown, and all of a sudden that was their explosive play. Well, because they can't run the football and Big Ben doesn't have the arm to get it down the field anymore, they're really just relying on short passes and playing great defense, which, as you saw yesterday, that's not exactly a formula that's winning football in the NFL week in and week out like maybe they used to when it was the Steelers of old.
The only offensive lineman to ever make 10 straight Pro Bowls, he'll be a Hall of Famer in 2023, Joe Thomas, at Joe Thomas 73. Watch him on Thursday Night Football. Joe, as always, love your insight, especially on the AFC North. My man, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Colin.
You bet. Knows his stuff and certainly knows that division inside and out. By the way, you talk reckless. You know, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it. It's not a national story yet, but Sam Darnold and Wentz, I've always compared the two. They've had some injuries. They're reckless. They play like linebackers. But watch what Carolina's doing. Matt Rhule is coaching it out of Sam Darnold. Now, it's just two games, but Sam is just taking hits. Yesterday, he just took a sack. It's just like, he wouldn't do that. Like, he just took a sack, and it's like, okay, it's not ideal. It depends on where you take a sack. Taking a sack at midfield's fine. You don't want to take a sack and it takes you out of field goal range. That's bad. But if you take a sack at the 40, 50-yard line, it's like it's better than throwing it up for grabs. And so Carolina, Matt Rhule is doing a remarkable job. Sam Darnold looks like, and I've watched every snap of Sam's career, USC on, he has really gotten out of the reckless game. Now, it will emerge. It will come back. You will see it. But he is slowly had a fumble in the red zone a couple weeks ago, but it was just a bad handoff. It wasn't Sam trying to make something out of nothing. It's not easy, but you're seeing it happen with Darnold in Carolina.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
15 minutes from now, don't forget where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Plenty of both on a Monday. Wolf and Shepherd sponsoring our show, the dress shoe made and worn by athletes. Business on the top, athletic on the sole. WolfandShepherd.com. Shepherd spelled S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D, like the herd. So the Titans came back to beat Seattle, though Seattle outplayed them for big chunks of the game. It's easy to get fooled when you have a great quarterback. And that's the game, right? Like, everybody wants to find the great quarterback. It makes everything easier. We talked about this Friday. It covers up a lot of flaws. But it can also fool you into thinking we're a very good team when you just have a great quarterback. Russell Wilson fools you into believing Seattle is a well-oiled machine. And I'll ask the question that I asked in the offseason. What does Seattle do well that Russell Wilson isn't connected to? Take out Russell, they rush for 60 yards. They had 10 penalties for 100 yards. They were dominated in time of possession. Their run defense was gashed. Tannehill threw for over 300 yards. Their drafting strategy in recent years has been weird as Pete Carroll suddenly has more control in the draft. Their seventh-round running back is markedly better than their first-round running back. Russell makes everything work. Freddie Swain, sixth-round receiver, looks like he can play. Tyler Lockett was a gadget guy. He's a star. Doug Baldwin was undrafted. He became a star. DK Metcalf dropped in the draft. Team stayed away. Russell made him a star. Russell Wilson fools you into believing. I mean, their offensive line's been a joke for years. Their play calling, they had to fire their offensive coordinators two times now, and they still win 11, 12 games because of Russ. The Seahawks feel incredibly loose, and just ask yourself, what do they do well that Russell Wilson isn't connected to? New England is actually, right now, this morning, the opposite of Seattle. They're very limited at quarterback. I mean, Mac Jones won. I'm not sure he did much, but they won because New England does almost everything well, and they're very limited at quarterback. That's the best coach in NFL history. Seattle, Russell makes everything work. What do they do well? Give me one thing that they consistently do well. Couldn't rush yesterday. Couldn't stop the rush. Penalties, a ton. I don't know. You know, there's been, I've said for years, it just feel like they give away games. It's you can't keep asking Russell Wilson to be the life preserver for the franchise. He got running around in the end zone trying to make plays. Everybody's got limitations. That's why, by the way, what I'm seeing with the Arizona Cardinals, I like, because it's not all on Kyler Murray. Now, he is great, but they went out and upgraded their pass rush. And they went out and upgraded their wide receiving core. And they have made aggressive moves. Playmakers on defense. Buda Baker, Isaiah Simmons. Like, they, Kyler's great. But they're showing you there are some different ways beyond Kyler to win. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, Seattle, you can win in the regular season, Russell doing all of it. But how has Seattle been in the postseason last 5 years? Because that's the best coaches. And then you're facing the best defenses. And then you're facing the best offensive lines. Quarterbacks can get you to the playoffs. They can just will their way, but to win in the playoffs against the best coaches, schemes, teams, you got to have balance. And I'm not sure. I just see one guy making all the plays for Seattle. Calling right, calling wrong, top of the hour. By the way, we talked about this on Monday, and I'm not sure why this is. Sometimes this is the way it works. Whatever business you're in, how do you enter the company? If you start in the mailroom, you could be the smartest person, man or woman in the world. But a lot of people will see you as mailroom person, and you may move up within the company. If you enter a company as a vice president, you can be a idiot and make mistake after mistake. But he's got a corner office. How do you enter a company? It'll shades the view of people. Derek Carr did not come in as a top 10 quarterback draft pick. We weren't talking about it. He played at Fresno State, so we didn't talk about him in college. We never talked about Derek Carr on the show in college. His brother had struggled in the NFL, so we kind of downgraded him because his brother had a bad situation, then that means Derek won't succeed. And he doesn't have the biggest arm, and he entered a franchise that was, at the time, the Raiders, an absolute tire fire. And because of that, nobody will put their arms around Derek Carr. Have you watched him the last 2 weeks? I mean, folks, he's not playing with a lot here. He goes into Pittsburgh yesterday. They did not have their top running back. That's one of the best front sevens in the NFL. He outplayed Big Ben. Big Ben's a first-round pick. His size. He enters the league as a Pittsburgh Steeler. He's got a Hall of Fame coach. I'm watching Derek Carr yesterday, and I'm watching Big Ben. It's not close. Pre-snap, deep ball, touch, efficiency, accuracy. I just don't think we've ever given Derek Carr a fair shot. Entered a bad team, you know, bad roster, small college, not high profile. I mean, even now his coach is higher profile than he is. I don't know. I watch Derek Carr. I don't see what everybody can see. That to me, he looks like Tony Romo to me. Not quite as athletic, but I watch Derek Carr. He throws a beautiful football. Not a huge arm. He's not Josh Allen. Not running around like Mahomes, but that dude can ball. That dude can play. Derek Carr can play. That's a top 12 quarterback in the league. Said it last week. Said it last year. I'll say it again.